Hey everyone, welcome to Latin Entertainment as we present Support Latine Businesses, the show, where we interview various businesses across Apiayal. Also, if you haven't, please join the Facebook group Support Latine Businesses on facebook.com/group/Support Latine Businesses, where you can network with a wide range of people in the pursuit of cooperative economics. Now let's get into this episode where we're interviewing Meg and Sam from Supe.
Yeah, my name is Megan, Meg. Either way, I was adopted from Cusco, Peru. I was raised in Minnesota, and then I came out to New York for Sam.
Yep, and my name is Sam. I was adopted from Ica, Peru, and I grew up in New York City, Manhattan more specifically on the Upper West Side.
So, yeah, let's go straight into adoption. I'm also adopted, and just great to see other adoptees like making strides and such, and really being promoting of that. How has like your adoption stories both been thus far into your current adulthood?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Yeah.
So I think it was really nice. We both actually met when we were 13, going down to Peru to meet our adopted family, or our birth family, for the first time. And so that was like a really big journey. And I think that kind of pivoted on, you know, adulthood. And me, I was stayed in contact with my birth family. I went down there to live with them for a little bit, and I'm more involved, I think, than Sam is. So it's kind of cool to have two different, like, pretty different perspectives as far as being adopted and being in touch with your birth family, and Sam can tell his side.
Yeah, definitely. Also how it relates to the business and the brand of what we're trying to do. Adopted by a single mom from Ica, Peru. I have four older brothers, one older sister, who I'm the youngest, who recently actually found out that they moved, or they somehow got into California, which is a really interesting story. A lot of things I want to know about that. It's kind of hard with the language barrier. I don't know Spanish and they don't know English. But yeah, I'm not necessarily so interested in maybe where I came from, but more interested in how that made me who I am, and more importantly, where I will take that for the future. That's kind of like where I'm kind of honed in on and focused on in my life.
Good. And so what is the name and purpose of this business you have and all the products that you're selling?
Yeah, so the name was Supe. I'm a really passionate musician. And during high school, I kind of grew into loving metal. And I was always searching for bands. And that kind of catapulted me to play in a wide variety of bands. But more recently, towards the end of that phase of my life, I had this really cool band that I really enjoyed playing in. And they were really interested in making merch, as well as seeing other merchandise in the community of bands that we would play for. And I felt that that was a huge part of who I wanted to be at the time, which was really, how can I identify myself and be different than everybody else? And what better way would it be to have like cool customized merch that I would envision and make? And so that kind of catapulted me into starting the brand, Supe. And I was thinking about what I could do that was different than what everybody else was doing at the time. And I kind of went into where I came from. And I said, there aren't that many clothing lines based on Incan and Peruvian culture. What a perfect time it would be to kind of just create that. And you know, hopefully I thought, you know, a lot of people would like that because it was different.
Yeah. So how Sam was pivoting off of like not necessarily worrying about kind of where he came from. I'm completely the opposite. And I'm just like, how does that relate to me? How does being adopted, how does having two moms or multiple siblings, how do I engage with that? How do I engage with others? Trying to kind of bring that out of it. And also just really search for this like identity and this meaning. And so then when we started working together, I kind of brought this a little bit of a deeper meaning into it. Like, how can we really be a part of this and not just show this pretty little picture to, you know, other Hispanics. How can we bring everybody into kind of our world and kind of have a better understanding of who we are?
Yeah, which is kind of, you know, to put it shortly, it's like, you know, I had an idea concept prior and she's just like, but why? Like, why did you do that? What's that? And I'm like, it's cool. But she's like, yeah, well, I mean, but that could, it could be so much more. Like, I don't know, like, what you're trying to, and I'm like, no, that is a great point you're making. So definitely, you know, with her guidance and her, you know, ideas and input, definitely, I feel, made the brand into a much more genuine place to where it is right now in the moment. And I believe that we both feel a lot better about it, because we feel that we're kind of truly tapping into the things that we love and believe in, and who, the things that we identify with. For instance, you know, your art making, mm-hmm. and where, you know, all the ideas and the feelings that you have at any given time when you're creating these pieces of work is really inspiring and really a joy to see. And definitely you inspired me to kind of take a, because I'm a huge musician as well, and I produce music, I'm electronic music guy, and you definitely showed me to kind of look deeper into the meaning of music and what it means to me and my place and my purpose in that scene. And so that's kind of like where we are, where we came from, and where we are at the current moment in the brand. So.
And what does Supe mean? And as well as the logo, what does that really represent?
Well, Supe is the god of the underworld. When I initially was looking at ideas for what to call the brand, definitely Supe was something that reached out to me, because I personally identified with it. Supe is the god of death, but in Incan mythology, death isn't necessarily a negative thing. And I feel like I truly identify with that, because I have always in my entire life felt different and misunderstood. And because I was quiet, no one really knew who I was. And I kind of took a lot of comfort in knowing that I can, you know, attach a part of where I came from to a part of what I'm doing. And so that when I heard that name, it kind of just clicked. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's it. That's the one.
Anything like to add to that, Megan?
Yeah, I think, you summed it up pretty perfectly. I like the kind of version of being like a misfit, because I think my whole life, you know, not getting along with like Hispanics or Latino, not being able to speak Spanish, really rebelling against everything that those cultures kind of brought to the table, because I had white parents, and just being so unsure with everything, I was feeling like a misfit, but constantly trying to force myself to fit in. And I think kind of being like, okay, Supe, you always say like it's a like a branch of our identity, and that kind of just helps ground me, and so that it makes everything kind of like come together and I guess make sense in my head, because like what Sam was saying earlier is I'm always the one questioning things like why and it this kind of just rounds everything out. And
because I think that it's beautiful that you do, because it forces me to truly solidify the parts that you're questioning, mm-hmm. either to solidify them, like I was saying, or to mm-hmm. rethink them and say, maybe that isn't really adding up to the way I thought it was, because you're not maybe thinking that it is. And if you're not thinking that it is, what if other people aren't thinking that it is? Like, how can we like figure out that confusion and, you know, come together and find, you know, something we can, an idea that's something we can both stand behind.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a, constant roller coaster ride.
Yes.
Amongst all your years working on this business, what are some moments of success or accomplishments that you've encountered?
I think recently it's been really cool to kind of take it from a clothing brand. I mean, we're still doing clothing too. We're just kind of like pausing that for a minute. And I started doing a lot of collaging. And I think the coolest thing is thinking back to when I was a kid and just absolutely loving tearing apart magazines and putting things together and colors and words and just making this beautiful picture. And I remember hearing like teachers or, you know, people I look up to, and they're like, well, you can't really do anything with art. You know, you can't really, you know, you have to pick something. You have to pick something to do. And I remember even having an art teacher in high school saying like, I'm never going to make it into art college. And then getting into art college and people saying, you're never going to get a job being a graphic designer. and just kind of this constant progression. And even now, I think the coolest thing is people reaching out, just saying, hey, like, thank you so much for sharing your art. Thank you for sharing with the world. And like, I can understand, whether it's like adoptees or other people who can kind of relate to our story, or people who just don't and are just really interested in learning. I think those moments of like clarity really come in when people can relate to
you. What are some areas of growth that you had to encounter, or some ways where you've met some setbacks you've learned from?
I guess as you were talking, just now I was thinking about where we wanted, how we kind of, the audience that we wanted to kind of focus on. And I think for me, it might be different for you, but for me, I feel as though I really want to focus the brand to other cultures that might not know much about South American culture and Incan culture, because we live in America and, you know, there's a lot of people who don't necessarily know about our culture. I think that it's important to kind of find mediums, whether it's music, whether it's artwork, that can successfully convey that communication, that information about where we come from. And I think that's important because, you know, a lot of people that come from those cultures, they know about it because they lived it. It's like in their blood, it's in their family. And a lot of people who might not know about it, who would love to know about it, who aren't necessarily part of our culture. And I think, you know, spreading the wealth, spreading the knowledge is like so important. So
yeah, and I think that like a challenge that we've kind of battled up and down is like, how much do you share? You know, how personal do you get? Does it matter? Are you going to be like a brand like Nike, where maybe they don't share anything and it's just more about, you know, the professionalism of the brand? Or, you know, is it okay to kind of talk about like adoption, or talk about more things that are personal? And I think that's kind of a struggle within itself, just, you know, this constant progression and this constant like growing up and kind of trying to find yourself.
You both have like shared your experiences about, you know, your Indigenous roots. Like what's the conscious conclusion you're going with your Indigenous roots, opposed to like a more Americanized view of yourself or a Latinized view of yourself?
I think we're kind of polar opposites when it comes to that. I think because I'm maybe because this could be just an opinion, but because maybe I'm more in contact with my family, and I have a sister, two sisters and a brother and niece and nephew, and constantly kind of like trying to kind of, I don't know if I want to say fit in, but kind of trying to still have somewhat of a connection and try to bring that into my like Americanized life, and still kind of keep somewhat of a tradition and just kind of balance the American traditions, the Peruvian traditions, because I still want to be involved. I still want to not count myself out, I suppose. And it's a bit different for Sam.
Yeah, I definitely feel more closely towards my, you know, American heritage of how I was brought up. I give all the love and respect and every, you know, to the family who was able to, you know, conceive me and was able to get me to a place where I was able to go to another environment and thrive and have a really wonderful childhood and great group of friends and a great, you know, educational experiences. And I wouldn't give it up for the world. I am so in debt and so loyal and so thankful for the family that I was, given to, blessed with, you know what I mean? And so I guess I'm more interested in, not more interested, but I guess my priority is, how can I take the family culture that I was raised in and continue that down the line of, you know, my children and hopefully their children. Because I guess my theory behind that is, you know, obviously, you know, there's always flaws with that. But my theory behind that is, you know, is that I have four older brothers who I feel as though can continue on that aspect of their, of our family line, in terms of teaching them, creating that family dynamic. And that's a beautiful thing too. And it, because it allows me to be able to focus in on my family, like, you know, family where I was born into or raised into, And I think that that's really, truly important to me. Yeah.
So Supe is more than just a apparel line. It's also a podcast. And looking at the titles, very interesting. Definitely going to check a lot of these out. Which of these episodes are your favorite and why?
I think the beginning ones, because of how scary it was and because of how real and emotional and raw it was. It's really hard to see yourself. You know, you look back on these videos and like, oh God, somebody didn't tell me like I had like makeup all over my face and it was all wrong. Or you hear yourself and you sound weird kind of, and it's uncomfortable. And I think we took a break in February because it just became way too much. The editing, the me just being self-conscious, the kind of questioning, like, are we only talking to adoptees? Like, what are we doing kind of thing? And it just kind of really kind of put a halt on a few things. And just, like I said, I'm constantly questioning things. But I think, yeah, the beginning ones are really cool. And I think we just started doing some more. And I love them too, because we're just a little bit more laid back and we're not necessarily worried about if we look perfect or if we sound amazing. We, like I said earlier, we have a puppy who's about 7 months old and he's constantly running around. And so in our new, like, as we start and begin another series, I suppose, of these podcasts, we're just kind of like, all right, we're just going to kind of put it all on the line. And if you hear him in the background, I'm not going to edit it out. And if something falls over or I don't know, anything random or weird happens, it's just going to all be in there, because it just, I think it lightens the load.
Yeah. And I think it just speaks more truly, like you were just talking, I'm more of a fan of like the stuff that we're going to come out with and that we have recorded it and we're going to upload, because it, I believe that it kind of, I think it shines more of a truer version of who we are. Mm-hmm. I think the earlier adaptations of the podcast were about adoption and our story revolving that. Mm-hmm. But I think that these new podcasts that we're making are more real to us, because the reality is that, you know, we're adopted and our whole lives are our adoption story. It's not like, you know, our adoption story, this is how I feel about it. It oozes into everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And talking about our interests and what we care about and what we love about is an extent, by extension, I believe, talking about our adoption life.
And so now, what are your thoughts on cooperative economics, and then how can this strategy support, I guess, the Indigenous community?
Ooh. I like the idea of it. I definitely think that it's specifically now, I guess, what we have in America. I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of things we could do better. I don't know, maybe my history knowledge is a little bit rusty, but I don't know if there was ever like a government that enacted that kind of way of economics but in theory, you know, I like the sound of that, you know, everybody kind of doing their part and in return getting stuff that they need to continue to do their part. I truly believe in the growth of society, which is one of the things I enjoy about capitalism, which is it does promote you know, people to learn and to be entrepreneurs and to want to be the best at what they do, because they will, you know, get rewarded for that. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because it creates incentive. And if that is implied with the cooperative economics, I definitely would be, you know, think that it would be a great idea.
And Megan?
Yeah, as long as it shows, it's hard, right? Because I think something we were talking about earlier is it's hard to have everybody on a even playing field, right? Because if you have everybody even all the time, then there's not going to be room for those, like, these ideas, you know, these big ideas, these, like, what we were talking about earlier was, like, yeah. Elon Musk, like, you think big, and it doesn't have room to grow. So I think as long as it's promoting that and it's constantly, like, showing growth, and, like, if it's, like, I think you were talking about earlier, is if it's, I forgot exactly what you were saying. Like, how?
Yeah, if it leaves the window open for society to progress and move forward in in the world in time, right? Like, you know, you have your, mathematicians, you have your inventors who are incentivized to create things, because then they'll be able to, you know, get their patents, get, you know, their, what's it called when you bless somebody with accomplishments, like rewards or whatever. Because I guess when you think about like, you know, I guess the thing I can draw to was communist Russia, right? The idea of communism was a beautiful thing, right? Everybody pitching their part for the greater good of the state. And, you know, everybody's treated equally. So there's no unfairness, there's no biasness, because there's one agenda, and that's to, you know, make the country, you know, Mother Russia great and as best as it can be. But in practicality, it obviously didn't really do that, because it limited everybody. Everybody was on the same playing field. And so, I mean, we all know what happened to the USSR. So, I definitely know what you're saying.
Yeah, like, it's just, as long as it always promotes growth and doesn't kind of have this
stagnant feel you know, nobody can be any better than anybody else. I think that you can be more skilled in certain areas than other people, and that it's okay. You know, I don't feel that anybody should be looked down on because they're not as gifted as somebody else. I would love a society where everybody is always, you know, being each other's cheerleaders and rooting for them to succeed and finding a place for them. I think that's the most important part.
And so now, what advice would you like to share with young entrepreneurs on Abhay Ayala?
My advice would be to be yourself, to believe, to stick to your beliefs, and not necessarily be silenced by the majority or the community. I definitely think in today's world, cancel culture is not necessarily a good thing, because I think that it focuses more on damning somebody and persecuting them, and less on redemption and surrounding them with love, in terms of that they did what, like, you know, maybe they did make a mistake, and it's okay to have a second chance. You know, your career and your life shouldn't be subjected to like one event, and to be able to support the individuals who maybe messed up. And because I always believe in second chances, I think that that's very important for somebody, because I've been in the dumps in my life. And, you know, because people gave me that second chances, I was able to thrive and to really be the man that I wanted to be. So that's the advice that I would give to younger generation, is just to stick to what you believe. And if you believe it's right, then, you know, never give up on that belief.
And I'd say always just kind of keep offering that hand, keep always trying to be true, keep, even if it makes yourself kind of look silly. I remember while we were doing our first, well, while I was involved in the first launch that we were doing together, kind of making these videos, I think we made maybe six, and it was like maybe the six mistakes of launching a t-shirt brand or whatever the case was. And it was awkward. You know, you're going in public places to make sure you have like a cool background or something, and you're just trying to be yourself, and you're trying to explain yourself, and you're trying to kind of help other people at the same time, right? Because I just am really big on just constantly lending out a hand, just constantly like helping. If somebody asks for help, just, how did you do this? Oh my gosh, this is the link, this is where I did it, this is like, literally, do you need me to send you a video? I'd say always do that, and not forget kind of the people who you were brought up with, the people who helped you when you needed a hand, and then just the constantly giving back, I think.
And what is the best way to contact you or purchase your t-shirts or any of the sorts?
Right now, we are still developing a new website. It should be done probably by the end of this week, and that's lovesoupe.com. And our Instagram handle is, I think it's love.soupay. No, it's just lovesoupay, lovesupay. We post a lot of things on there.
That would probably be the best way to contact us if you have any questions or anything, really.
Yeah, and we have a link tree up there, so you can look at the prints and some of our posts and things like that.
Yeah, definitely let me know when the website's up and running, because I love that t-shirt you got on.
Yep, that's collaboration with another brand, Active Variable. This t-shirt was inspired by the future and in terms of gaming and where, you know, where we're going. Cause I think me and you, or me speaking, I love the idea of the, of, is you get this picture, Incan civilization in 2021, you know, like future, like Blade Runner 2049, you know, like that kind of mystique, like Apocalypto meets Blade Runner, like that, that kind of vibe. So this shirt was inspired by that, you know, very gamer, very kind of sporty, idea. So yeah.
Awesome. And so now for our last part is like your últimas palabras, just a close with a 1 minute promotional speech about your brand, your business, and so forth.
1 minute promotional speech. Well, I guess Supe is a brand that focuses on where we come from, our roots, and focuses on the future of where those roots might take us. And we have things for sale, artwork, music that are all extensions of what our view of that might be. And I think that as a brand, we are looking towards the future with the ideas of our roots. So I think that it's a little bit of a mouthful, but
this is Mongo.
You can feel free to message us and reach out to us if you have any questions. And we're more than happy to talk to you and answer.
Thank you, Megan and Sam, for sharing and joining us today. For everyone at home, again, make sure you follow Love Supe and check out their website on lovesupe.com. Also, make sure you follow us on social media at @Latin_entertainment and check us out on all our platforms from Anchor, Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube. And get ready for our next episode next week. Until then, support Latine businesses.